And I tell you, God has been good. We got to see a young man get saved by the grace of God in the basement of the house the other night. And you tell me God ain't real. Hallelujah. And there's so much God. There's more God in our basement the other night than I've been in most church services, just to be honest with you. And old Marine just got out of the Marines, suffering from postpartum war syndrome and having a lot of trouble. God moved in the basement of the house, saved that old boy by his amazing grace. And I'm telling you, God can help him with that. I believe that with all my heart. And y'all pray for that boy. His name's Matt. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter number 3 this morning, the Bible says, very familiar, verse number 14. We'll begin reading there, the church of Laodiceans. And I want to give you something here this morning, maybe try to be a blessing to you and help you and encourage you. I don't believe we have much time left, to be honest with you. And I have felt a fervency in my heart to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, and unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him and be with him. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness, Lord. We thank you, God, for everything that you've done. Lord, I thank you for your people that are gathered here in your house today. And Lord, I thank you for what I have felt in my soul already. God, I give you all the glory for it. Lord, it's still good to be saved by your grace, and I thank you so much for that. Lord, I pray you bless your word, bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. And, I told you I was not this thing up. Amen. And I want you to look with me. We're just going to deal with the entirety of this, and I'll just briefly give you several things that may be a blessing to you, and we could argue about several points about this scripture this morning. But I do want to give you the thought that the Lord has given me, and I'm interested. And I want you to notice what the Lord said in verse number 21. And the Bible says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. Now, there's an amazing picture here in this scripture, and I don't have time to deal with all this morning. I do want to try to give you the thought that the Lord has laid on my heart, very simple thought, and I want to preach this morning on the overcomer. I'm not interested in being overcome. I'm interested in overcoming things in my life. I'm not interested in quitting. I'm interested in finishing. I never forget the meeting that I got saved in. Brother Dwight Banks was preaching. I'll never forget it as long as I live. He made a statement that has never left my heart, and he said, a winner never quits, and a quitter never wins. And he was dealing with finishing right. We've seen a lot of folks start right, but there's not many people finishing right in the day and hour which we live in. How many of y'all believe that Jesus is going to reward us one of these days for the service that we have done? When you look in the book of Peter, Peter talks about how that we can have an abundant entrance in the glory. And you ought to look at that sometime and study that abundant entrance. I am interested in having an abundant entrance into glory. I'm interested. It amazes me this morning that God would save us. It amazes me that we're saved. But then it also amazes me that one of these days, he's going to reward us according to our labor that we have done for him. There's not one of us in this building this morning deserves for Jesus Christ to hand you a crown for what you've done, but yet he has chosen that way. He's going to work in that way. And I'll be the first to admit to you, church, I will have several works I burn. I don't understand everything about the way God is going to process that through the fire, but we know they will pass, and we will have works burn up and dealing with our motives and things of that nature. But notice with me, he said, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. And that intrigues me. What does Jesus mean when he says there that he will grant us to sit with him in his throne? Notice this, the Bible goes here and Jesus says this, and this is our courage that we have today, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. There are several things that Jesus overcame in his earthly ministry, and we'll deal with that in just a moment. But when you look back in Psalms chapter 110, you'll look and you'll see, and I don't have a lot of time to deal with this morning, but in Psalms 110, you'll find that psalm picks up right after Calvary. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. That was right after Calvary. You see that in prophecy. Where's Jesus at right now? He is literally sitting beside the Father in his throne. So the Lord is promising us in this chapter, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. You say, preacher, I'm not going to argue with you this morning about what this, whether it may mean or not, but I really kind of believe that it's got to deal with the millennial reign and during that time period when the Bible says, even when you look in chapter number 5, the Bible says that they sang a new song and they still sing about the blood, hallelujah, and they sing to the Lamb. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we get in heaven? You know how good it feels to sing about the blood now? Wait till we get to look at him and sing about the blood, hallelujah. What a day that really will be. But I'm interested in this morning. When you study this chapter and you study this church, you'll find that Jesus says nothing positive about the church of Laodicea. You'll find that he's not complimenting them. He's not saying anything real good to them. There's nothing positive said to the church of Laodicea. Matter of fact, I begin to really meditate when Jesus said here, he said, I know thy works. Notice that. He knows our works. He knows what we're doing. He knows the motive behind them. He knows what we're really all about. I question myself all the time. Matthew, why are you preaching? Is it just a calling, or is it a heartfelt ministry that God has placed in my life? And I want you to see this morning as we look at this. Hey, preachers, what's this thing all about anyway? Is it about the Cadillacs, the cash, and the cars? Or is it about the people God has blessed you with? Amen. I like my church. I'm enjoying pastor, and I love it. And some of you say, we ain't been doing it long enough. I still like it. Hallelujah. Notice this. The Bible says, he says that you're neither cold nor hot. I begin to think, what is the definition of lukewarm? If they're cold and hot, that is a mixture of cold and that is a mixture of hot. You say, what is that, preacher? That's the ability to sit in church. That is the ability to go to church, then get out in this world and live like everybody else. That's the ability to come to church, dress one way, go outside and dress another way. That's the ability to open that Bible and then be able to get on the internet and look at a bunch of filth and trash. That is lukewarm. That is the ability. What you've got to understand in lukewarmness is that lukewarmness has the ability to go either way. It can either be cold or it can be either hot. Brethren, I'm saying we are lukewarm in this generation. Somebody made this statement the other day, and I know what they meant. They said we live in the hardest time that there has ever been to live for God. I thought about that, and I chewed on that, and I began to meditate. I thought, we don't live in the hardest time there's ever been to serve God. How many of y'all faced a Catholic church like our forefathers did? How many of y'all had to hide your Bibles to get in that building this morning? How many of y'all have watched your family sewn up in bloody animal skins and listen to your wife cry out, I'd beg you to keep serving Jesus. Hey, don't worry about us. How many of y'all have faced that in this generation? We're not living in the hardest time to serve God, church. We're living in one of the greatest times there's ever been to shine and let our light shine. It's just all in how you look at it, amen. Now, I will say this. We're living as far from God as any generation ever has, though. How many Percy Rays you know? How many Mays Jacksons you know? How long has it been since you have just beyond meeting with God? How long has it been since God overshadowed you with His presence and His power? How long has it been since you've been riding down the road and you turn the windshield wipers on because you think it's a raining outside and you realize it's a coming out right there? How long has it been, preachers, have we just got too good at preaching where we don't need to pull aside and enter into that prayer closet and saturate ourselves with the presence of God? I'm afraid we've got real good at what we're doing. I'm afraid we got the everything lined out, but how many people really know about the presence and power of God? I'm not talking about, I am not interested this morning in being your average deadbeat Christian. I'm not interested in having a prayerless power and power in my prayer life. I am interested in living above the circumstances. I'm interested in having the touch of God on my life. Somebody asked Brother Oliver B. Green one time, said, Brother Green, what is it about your life? They said when Brother Green would go in those meetings and those plants that there was such a touch of God on his life that men would fall under conviction just being in the presence of Brother Green. And you say, was it Brother Green? No, it was a God that lived inside that man. Now unto him that can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what, church? The power that worketh within us. How many saints of God do you know with the touch of God on their life? Do you know that the average Christian probably sitting in this building, I know I'm not sitting among the average, but Brother Josh, you young folk, as Brother Keith was preaching, how many of you young folk really know what it's like to kneel down in prayer and have God overshadow you, have the presence of God be so real in your prayer closet that it was just beyond even saying a word? Some of y'all looking at me awful strange this morning. We have lost that. We have lost that. We're lukewarm. We've got the mechanics. We got the good preaching. We've got the good singing. Brethren, we've got it all laid out, but we forgot something. Where's God at in all this? Where's God? We look good. We sound good, preachers. There are young folk in this building that does know nothing about the power of God. They don't know nothing about the presence of God. They don't know what it's like. Brethren, you talk about God doing things and God moving in great and mighty power, and you almost feel like an idiot because the people standing there you're talking to can't even believe it because it's so foreign in this generation. Some of you sitting in this building, y'all ever heard them old timers talk, Bardell, about getting foggy in the house of God? Does anybody still believe that this morning? Does anybody, I'm not talking about mysticism or anything like that. I'm talking about a God that is real this morning and has real power. Y'all ever been out in that laurel thicket somewhere? Nobody around, just you and God. And God gets so real to you that you're afraid to look up because you don't know who or what's around you. Come on now, church. I'm getting that foreign look. You know why? Because there ain't nobody doing that anymore. Brethren, notice in this chapter, Jesus has nothing positive to say. Brethren, we're living in a discouraging time. Yes, I agree with that. No, we're not living in the hardest time. I know sin is very available. I know things are happening, but we are living the furthest from God than a generation has in a long time. Young folks, God do something for you if you'll just pull aside. Get out somewhere, nobody, just you and God. And God, fill you with the presence of God. Sometimes I go, Brother David, and I'm not really looking to talk to anybody except for him when I get, and I'm not really looking to ask for anything. I just go there and I say, all right, Lord, will you meet with me? Lord, I just need a touch today. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Does anybody know? And brother, when he's dealing with this church, there is nothing positive said about the church of Laodicea. They're lukewarm. They can go either way. Do you know that our churches sit on the verge of going either way? Notice this with me, and I'll give this to your church. But I do want you to notice that there are some positive things said in this scripture. You say, what do you mean? Number one, Jesus is talking to them. Think about it now. Brother, number one, there ain't nothing positive said about the church, but I'm telling you, Jesus is talking to them. That's positive, ain't it? He is talking to them, hallelujah. And then he tells them that he loves them. He says, whom I love, I rebuke and chasten. So he is talking, Brother Barry. He does love, hallelujah. That's positive. Anybody agree with that? I'm telling you, Jesus is still speaking, even in this Laodicean age. But brethren, notice this. He's beginning to talk it, and at least he is talking to them, and he tells them, whom I love, I rebuke and chasten, and he's dealing with them in their sin. And then notice this. He's talking to them. He's fellowshipping with them. He encourages them. But then it intrigues me, Brother Josh. He says, to him that overcometh. So evidently, even though there's not much positive being dealt with here in this scripture, brother preacher, from what I see, somebody can overcome even in the Laodicean church age. Jesus said, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Hey, church, it is still a positive. You can personally be an overcomer. You young folks might even have to overcome a crowd of older folks that have got tired of laboring in prayer, got tired of laboring for the presence of God, and you can step above them and have the touch of God. I'm not talking about rebellion or nothing like that, because I believe you get in the presence of God, he'll help your practical life. He'll help you even be good to rebellious people. He'll help you to have a right attitude. Church, I am telling you, being spirit-filled is more than just shouting. And I like shouting, hallelujah. I asked the Lord, y'all going to say you're crazy. I asked the Lord, let me run a lap, hallelujah. You say, do you go to church looking for that? Yes, hallelujah. But I'm telling you, when God is in my life, he said, if you'd walk in the Spirit, you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Our problem is our walk. Y'all gonna laugh at me, but I'm telling you, when God is moving in my life, I can't help but love my wife better. Come on now. I can feel the love of God reaching through me to love on my precious wife. I can feel God motivating me in my business dealings to be a good young man, to have the touch of God. Work hard, Brother Barry. I'm telling you, I don't care what nobody thinks, Brother Colfer. I'll sling that chainsaw some days as hard as I can, and I work like an idiot, Brother David, slinging that chainsaw every which way. But there's a verse of scripture that goes through my mind. Hey, I'm not doing this to please men. There's a God looking at Matthew Morgan, and I want him to know that I'm not taking for granted that I can work with my hands, that he has blessed me. I'm telling you, we are so far from being spirit-filled in this day. We're so far from it. We've got this mystical ideal about it, but I'm telling you, he'll help you in your practical life. What are we going to have to overcome? Notice this. Jesus said, I overcame some things. What did Jesus overcome? Brethren, he overcame Satan. This is elementary. I know it is, brother. But he said, I overcame some things. What did Jesus overcome? He overcome temptation. The devil took him out there. He was led in the wilderness, and he overcame Satan. Do you realize you have the same opportunity? He said in the book of James, if you'd resist the devil, he'd flee from you. The problem is we're not resisting, brother. We're giving him a wide open door in our life. And he's over. And when we are sitting on the edge and the verge of going either direction, brethren, there's some of you sitting here today. You are on the edge of going any direction. There's young folks sitting in this building. You are on the edge of going. I'm talking to saved folk this morning. You are on the edge of going either direction. And brethren, if you don't sell out to one or the other, you're going to be in a mess. Notice this. He is saying some positive things. What does it mean to sit with him in his throne? I really just kind of believe it's talking about the millennial reign. How many of you men? I know folks, I have never heard one solid message, Brother David Wales, on somebody preaching on our rewards, our positions during that millennial reign. Everybody's scared to deal with it. I don't know what the deal is. I'm trying to prepare my people to reign with Christ. Amen. I want my platoon, hallelujah, to come out on top, Brother David. Amen. I want my platoon to have a sword in their hand, driving that wicked crowd in the right direction. Does anybody, you say, you psycho preacher, I am, leave me alone. Hey, if it takes me messing with my mental state to keep on serving Jesus, I'm going to do it. I'm like, preacher, man, I've been meditating on these things. When you study a man in history, and it happened during the book of Esther, you find a name by the name of Leonidas that said, I ain't a backing up, I ain't a budging, I ain't a bowing. And this man faced the entire Persian army as Xerxes came against him, which is a hazardous in your Bible. Xerxes came up against a force that he had never seen before. He came up against them 300 Spartans there at the Battle of Theopolis. And brethren, them men held that entire Persian army off because they had some grit about them. They had some training about them. And they were absolutely faithful to their leader. They knew what they were doing. There's nothing spiritual about being stupid. Amen. Them men knew how to fight together. Amen. They absolutely trained in teamwork. They knew their weapons. Do you know there's people sitting in this room this morning, been saved for years, couldn't take this Bible and show you why they believe in eternal security? How many of y'all believe that every answer for life is in this book? Everybody does. How many of y'all have trouble finding those answers sometimes? Every one of you preachers, you might as well say amen too. How many of y'all have had trouble? Man, preacher, I'm learning a lot, pastor, and I like it. Got one family come up to me and said, preacher, what in the world would do? They were married. The girl married two men in between. Got kids from two other men. And my only answer is, how in the world you unscramble eggs? And so you got this woman. She's raising kids that's not even hers from this man that had other kids. It's getting complicated. He said, she said, this said. I'm dealing with this. And brother, I sat and watched God unscramble eggs. And I still don't know how it's all going to work out. Been married, all this, that, and the other. And then somehow they wind up in our church, both of them. God puts the family back together. They got married a couple months ago, and they sitting on the church pew with a big old smile on their face. You say, do you know if that's right? I'm not sure, but it feels good, amen. I don't know if that's exactly right, brother. I said, go the justice of peace. Let him do it. Don't involve God. We'll just try to do right, amen. Amen. What in the devil do you do? Brother, we facing some things. Nothing positive said, but there's some positive things going down in this chapter. He is speaking. Say, so what are you going to overcome? I ain't got time to deal with all this. Jesus overcame Satan. Jesus overcame his very own flesh when he prayed in that garden. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You are going to have to follow the example of Jesus. Probably the worst thing I've had to overcome in my Christian life is me. You know what one thing, preacher, I've had to overcome as a preacher pastoring a church? I've had to overcome the fear of what everybody else thinks and just do what's right. I'm telling you something, young folk. You ever get about 10 tons of I don't care dumped on you? What everybody thinks about you and how they look at you? You're looking at one young man. I was 18 years old when I got saved. Had a fifth of white liquor in my hand one night, and God, the Holy Ghost, blew through there, said, son, there's something better light than this. Then I got saved by the grace of God. I'm having the time of my life. I can't believe the things that God has done in my life. I cannot believe it, brother. Power of God falling in the basement of the house. Man getting saved by the grace of God. Out in the woods praying with just me and the Lord. And things happen that can't even hardly be uttered. I know that scares people when you talk about that. I got absolute reverent. I didn't know nothing about old time religion, brother. I got saved by the grace of God, and the only thing I'd ever heard about people going out in the woods doing was worshiping Satan. Feller, after I got saved, he seen all my friends drop me like a bad habit. And he took me in. Maybe why God's not letting nobody get saved, because we won't disciple them right. You're saved and we just let them go. And this man took me and he said, come on up the house, Matthew. Went up there to his house that evening. We rode dirt bikes for a little while. His wife cooked us a good meal. And it got about dark. And he said, all right, Matthew, let's follow me. Right, we started walking up this trail up the holler. I didn't know what we was doing. I really did not know what we was doing. Them men reached down, and I've told this, some of you have heard me tell it, but I'm telling you it changed my life. Them men reached down in the creek and grabbed a rock, and I thought, well, they're going to stone me up here in these woods. I honestly had no clue what was taking place that night. So I thought I might as well defend myself, so I grabbed me a rock. We got up there, and there's a pile of rocks, brother, mounted over in them woods in that little thicket. Then men began to explain to me what that was. I probably prayed for 2 minutes. I prayed out in 2 minutes. Somebody said, you want to pray? You want to learn how to pray? Pray. Because the more you pray, the more you'll pray. Amen. Yes, sir. Brother, I got done praying, Brother Rackley, and I roll over my back, and I listened to them men getting the Holy Ghost, something I'd never heard in my life. And I was looking through them laurels, looking at them stars that night, and I said, Lord, I want it like this. Lord, I want to be able to talk to you like this. And I listened, and them men went from praying to running and shaking laurel bushes and praising the God of heaven and shouting out, it changed my life forever. We don't have much of that. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I mean, Jesus, if he had to overcome, now one thing you're going to have to overcome, you're going to have to overcome lukewarmness. Yeah. Amen. You're going to have to overcome this thought in your head that, hey, this is the hardest day to serve God. You need to overcome that. Yes. And you need to look at it. It's not the hardest day. We've got a great opportunity, church. Amen. How many of y'all believe Jesus is fixing to come? Amen. Raise your hand. Does anybody really believe that? Not just because the preacher's saying it. Do you really believe Jesus is coming? Peter said, if you believe these things, it causes purity in your life. It causes zeal in your life. Amen. You're going to have to overcome the time period. Have the touch of God on your life. Have the power of God. And I'll close with this today. Notice this. I didn't understand this for a long time. He rebukes them. The poorest person in this building this morning's got it made compared to what it used to be. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind. Now Jesus is rebuking them for having all these things. Come on now, church, we got it better than we ever have.
Amen.
I'll just be honest with you, I'm living far above my raising.
Yes, sir.
And I don't understand why God's been so good to me and my family. I think it's really just for my wife's sake, and I've got in on a good thing. My wife's precious, and she loves the Lord, and I believe he loves her. He rebukes them for having all these things. But then the Lord says this. I never understood this. He said, but I counsel you to buy me gold tried in the fire. Now, Lord, you just got on to us for being rich. What in the world we need gold for? He said that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Here's the thought. He just got on to them for being rich. Everybody agree with that? And then he's telling them to buy gold from them? But I'm telling you, church, we are increased with goods. God been good to any of y'all? Has God blessed any of y'all? We are increased. But then on the other hand, brother, we're as poor as they come. What Jesus was not, let me get this. What Jesus was saying, what you need, it's going to come from me. What's more precious than gold than his presence? His power. His anointing on your life. Jesus is saying you're increased with gold, you're increased with goods, but what you need is me. You know what we need in our churches? The presence of God. You know what we need in our preaching? The unction of God. We know how to say it. Most of you preachers might as well admit it. You know when to hit it and get everybody to do that. Come on now. But ain't it a blessing? Any of you preachers, I know you have. I'm the little dude that's wet behind the ears. I'll just go ahead and admit it. Any of you preachers ever been preaching, Brother Norris, with such the power and touch of God that it felt as if you were sitting here watching it take place? It's not our words. And I'm not against education. It is the unction of God. Church, what we need in this day and hour, you singers, you ought to be in that prayer closet. And I appreciate you guys. This church knows you do not know what you mean to me and my family. And I appreciate your time and your talent and your practice. Anybody in this building would agree that this church puts a lot of time in some singing and practice. I love it. One of my girls has got a church wish list she's writing right now. She's got Brother Josh Calloway's name wrote on there. We're taking him with us. I'm not kidding you. They got a wish list back there. They're writing, and it says a choir loft that looks like that. I hope they ain't got Brother Dale's name wrote on there. Jessica, I love you like a sister.
Amen.
All you guys really do. Y'all are like family.
Amen.
Greatest thing you can do, Miss Jessica,
yes,
is climb in that prayer closet, nobody around,
yes,
and beg the God of heaven to touch the singing.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with the best. When David and them brought that ark back in, notice down through their chief of the musician, chief.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. But David said we need some Levites around. Somebody knows how to handle the things of God.
Amen.
You're going to have to overcome some things.
Amen.
Jesus said, hey, you've got a lot of things. Let me ask you this. I got 1 minute. Hallelujah. You got a nice home. You got nice clothes. Beautiful building. But when it comes to the power of God and the presence of God and God moving in your life, what's the bank account look like this morning? I'm telling you, he's real. God met with me the other day in the DMV office. You say, God's got to be real to meet with you in the DMV office. I'm not kidding you, Brother Norris. I was in the DMV office, and I was trying to be positive about it. Brought me a Christian book to read while I was waiting 4 hours to get my driver's license. And then if you got CDL license, you just might as well double some of that.
Yeah, that's right.
And I got up there, and the man was real morbid looking. You know, I'm just another number. Let's get you through here, young man. Sitting there, computer shuts down. Hi, right, Lord, this walking in the Spirit, help me. Computer shuts down. I'm sitting there thinking, Brother Van Gilbert, how can I witness to this dude? And I'm not real bold. I'm really not. I'm not real bold. So I have to kind of work my way into things. And I pray, God, give me boldness. And I said, and he was a son of me and that son of our family. I said, sir, you ain't related to son. We just talked. And then he told me the community he lives in. I said, you go to church. So that DMV officer looked at me. And he stood up and he shook my hand. He said, yes, sir, brother, I do. So we got to fellowship with God. And then he told me it was going to be 10 days before I could get my license, and I had to come back and do it again because of CDL junk. And brother, when we got done fellowship, and he looked at his computer in amazement, he said, it went through. He said, it just went through. It don't do that. It went through. You have your license now, sir. You talk about God. You reckon God do stuff for you like that? He has me. Walked over there and he took my picture, and I got a good picture because I was really smiling. But Brother Norris, that DMV man, my life, I love it. I want God. The Lord come to me like he did Solomon by night, and he said, Matthew, what do you want? You? What you want, Matthew? Just you, Lord, really? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. You know what I've learned about that? The more I delight in him, my desires are him. And that DMV officer threw his arm around me, preacher, and he looked at me and he said, son, you know what? And I said, what, sir? He said, Jesus is coming soon. We both got to crying, talking about the Lord and the goodness of God. We both tore out of our frame. My life is very exciting.
Amen.
It really is. My life is exciting. I go in Burger King hoping for God to move, Brother David. Hopefully that maybe God open up a door to testify in Burger King and the whole place gets saved. You say you are crazy. Hey, the reason ain't nothing happened, nobody ain't believing God anymore.
Amen.
We're going to have to overcome the mentality that the church has in these days if we're going to have to touch a God in our life.